invite you to remain standing this morning for our gospel reading. It comes from the second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 13 to 23. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all of the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what might have been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. We're in a series called An Unlikely Advent. It covers some of the lesser known, not starring characters of the Christmas story. Last week, Pastor Abby shared a wonderful message on hope and Elizabeth and Zechariah. This week, I have King Herod. And I have to be honest, I wasn't too excited about diving into the King Herod part of the Christmas story this week. I wouldn't be surprised if you've never read this part of the Christmas scripture before what we just read. That after the visit from the wise men, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus have to flee to Egypt because King Herod orders the murder of all children in and around Bethlehem who are 2 years old and under. It's horrible. It's a true tragedy. It's something that, while it is in Scripture, we can be certain it wasn't part of God's desire for this world. And because of that, most often we don't talk about this part of the story. The wise men come, and then we just sort of finish up Christmas and move on. King Herod exists in the Christmas story, but we never make him a main character until today when we have to. There's a part in the beginning of this chapter in the book, An Unlikely Advent, where the author, Reverend Rachel Billups, talks about sharing with her clergy covenant group about this idea of wanting to talk about King Herod in this book and during Advent, and they encouraged her. I told this to my clergy covenant group, and you know their response? They said, "Girl needs to get a new clergy group because those pastors are crazy." But alas, here we are with King Herod this week, so we are going to learn it together. Thinking about King Herod, though, made me think about some of the other villains of our Christmas stories. Because despite my uncertainty about King Herod, we have other Christmas stories that almost center around what we would think about as the bad guy. There's the Grinch, who seeks to ruin Christmas by stealing it all in Whoville. Perhaps you've seen a Capital One commercial this year where they're looking for somebody to deliver presents to children. And the Grinch is there and he says, "I'll do it." And the lady with the presents says, "No, let's have Sarah do it." To which the Grinch responds, "You steal the presents one time." To which the girl picked to give the present says, "Well, I've stolen the presents no times." The Grinch, whose whole thing is ruining Christmas, is part of our collective Christmas culture. And then, of course, we have Scrooge from A Christmas Carol. The one who hates Christmas so much and treats people so poorly. And then he's visited by the ghosts of Christmas past and present and future. It's a story so well known that after the book, it's become plays and movies and redone by the likes of Mickey Mouse and the Muppets. And so in thinking about these three Christmas villains, I realized that they all had something in common. None of them knew love. We don't know much about King Herod's actual life, but we do know this from history. He was raised to be a ruler. He was raised to be the one in charge and to seek power at all costs. And when something or somebody shows up that seems to challenge this power, he doesn't know how to react in love. When the wise men from the east arrive looking for a new king, his only option then is one of hate, because he's never had a community that's taught him love. And so he manipulates the situation to try to find Jesus, and then he orders death, because his quest for power and authority can't line up with love and life. And then, of course, we have the Grinch, who lives alone with just his dog, Max, separate from all the other Whos in Whoville. He doesn't know the love that they share with each other. He just knows loneliness and isolation. He steals Christmas because he doesn't know the love of giving and sharing. Scrooge, too, has lived a life of loneliness and isolation. He doesn't know how a community of love treats others. Nobody has shown him love, so he doesn't know how to love other people. He hates Christmas and he seeks to make it miserable for others because he doesn't know the joy that comes from love. Here's then the truth of all of this, which is also what I think can be the most challenging for us. We all have a little Herod and Grinch and Scrooge in how we act. We too have acted in villainous ways because we were separated from love. We're human, so sometimes we have those same tendencies as King Herod and the Grinch and Scrooge. Things have happened in our lives that cause us to act in broken and hurtful ways. We've lived into the mess of our humanity. Even if we aren't out there trying to ruin Christmas, there's a reason "don't be such a Grinch" or "you're such a Scrooge" have become common phrases in our society. We all act in ways that give in to our sin and our brokenness. None of us are perfect. None of us live into love all the time. We all fall short, and we have to know what our tendencies and temptations are towards brokenness and sin so that we can have transformation. I grew up studying ballet, and every year we performed the Nutcracker at Christmas time. By the time I was in high school, because of some splits and drama and other stuff, the two dance studios that used to be together to do the Nutcracker became two very separate dance studios that still came together to do the Nutcracker. And to say that the two groups of teenage girls from each dance studio didn't like each other is an understatement. We were peak mean girls. I remember, though, one year our teacher called us up as the oldest group right after class, right before we went into show week. And she told us that she knew what was going on. And she said, "Listen, for this week, I want to know that you girls are going to be better. I wanted to know that you girls aren't going to be part of the drama. Something along those lines, she said. I don't remember that part exactly. But the part that I remember her saying word for word is this. She said, because I know all of you can give it as much as you can take it. It was 100% true. We were just as mean to them as they were to us. And yet we always claimed it was their fault. And that calling out then, it stuck out with me because it was so true. I was just as mean to those girls as they were to me. And so I needed somebody to call me out so that I could admit it was true and start to change. Now, I'm not going to call out individually your villain tendencies this morning, and I actually don't suggest you do that for somebody unless you're in a pretty close and loving relationship with them and are willing to be held accountable by them as well. But let's talk in general about some of our tendencies to act in broken ways. When you find yourself separated from love, when you fall into brokenness and mess and sin, how do you act? Maybe you give in to gossip, into talking about other people's mess and brokenness behind their backs. Maybe you give in to the need to always be right or get your way, and it causes you to snap at your spouse or your parent or your kid, and then not apologize or admit that you were wrong. Maybe you seek revenge for the harm done to you, and you start to build up grudges or some sort of checkmark system, and you think, well, that person hurt me once, and so I can hurt them once too. Maybe you seek to control everybody, from who can do what to what you give to others and how that looks. Maybe you become judgmental of others, only wanting to offer love if you think they deserve it. We identify our tendencies to sin and brokenness so that we can be redeemed. Because this is the good news of all of this. Jesus, out of great love for each and every one of us, comes to redeem us from all our sin and brokenness and mess. Jesus comes to provide for us the love all of us are desperately missing that causes us to act in those ways. Advent is a time where we acknowledge there was a reason Jesus had to come into the manger, to come and to be our Savior. That we are a mess, a tangled up mess of human, each and every one of us. And that Jesus has done that redemptive work, so that we can do the honest and hard work of transformation. The love of the Christmas story is that we have a Savior who came to live among us so that we might all know love. In the midst of a broken and hurting world, Christ was born. In the midst of the power of a villain like Herod, Christ was born. In the midst of sin and mess, Christ was born to provide a love more powerful than this brokenness and villain and sin. Christ was born. And this promise, it is still there for us today. In the midst of a still broken and hurting world, Christ is born again. In the midst of the power of villains who have hurt and harmed, Christ is born again. In the midst of our own sin and mess, Christ is born again. To provide a love more powerful than this brokenness and villains and sins, Christ is born again. Maybe that's why we need these villains, to remind us of the power of the love of Jesus, to remind us that Jesus can redeem all things, that the Grinch can steal Christmas, but the people of Whoville will still gather to sing, and the Grinch's heart will grow 3 sizes, and he'll be included in their community. That Scrooge can witness what love looks like in Bob Cratchit and Tiny Tim and want to change to live his life that way. And then, of course, there's the challenge of King Herod. What makes this part challenging is that Unlike the Grinch and Scrooge, we never see that redemption. We never see that transformation. And yet, because we believe Jesus always offers unconditional love, we have to believe that the possibility of redemption was there for King Herod, too. That's the beauty and the messiness of the Christmas story. The love of Jesus is so expansive and unconditional and healing that there is nothing that Jesus cannot redeem. Jesus is born into a broken and hurting world because he can do something about it. As difficult as that can be for us to believe at times, as difficult as it can be to accept that this promise is true for everybody, we hold on to this promise because we desperately need it in our lives and in our world. Towards the end of this chapter, Rachel Billups offers a series of questions that I think guide us to this good news in our lives. She writes, "But what if? What if the light only breaks through the cracks in our own story? What if the struggle is a part of it all? What if the only path to restoration is through brokenness? What if we could all name the Herods within ourselves? What is your story? Where have you played the villain? Do you realize your own need for God's grace and love? What would it look like if you truly believed in the God of grace? What would it mean for you to believe in a Christ who died for the Herods of this world? Would it mean giving room for the restoration of the Herods of your life? Jesus was born into this world to bring redemption to us all. Jesus was born to this world to bring love to us all. Allow that love to be at work in your life. Be redeemed. Be restored. Be loved. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we have fallen short time and time again. We've lived into our messiness. We've lived into our brokenness. We've lived into our sin. We've lived without your love. Call us back to that love again, Lord. Through the gift of Christ, may we again receive the promise of love, forgiveness, and salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.